The failure of drug war is glaringly obvious to judges, cops, wardens, prosecutors, and millions more now calling for decriminalization, legalization, the end of prohibition. Let us investigate the Century of Lies.
Hello, and welcome to Century of Lies. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh. The Republic of Ireland may be moving toward progressive, rational drug policies. On November 30th, Ireland's Parliament discussed a motion calling, among other things, for a citizens' assembly on drugs. The motion was introduced and explained by Deputy Edna Reardon.
If we were to invite a family member of every individual who has died from drug overdose last year to sit in this chamber, we wouldn't have enough room for everybody. This is the most famous room in Ireland. These seats have been filled by famous people over the last 100 years or so. If we were to invite a single family member for every individual who has died from drug overdose in Ireland to sit here, we wouldn't have enough room. They'd have to sit in the public gallery. In 2017, 235 people died from fatal overdoses of drugs. That figure gets worse year on year. And we have one of the highest drug overdose rates in Europe. And if they were to come here, if those family members were to come here, Minister, if they were to sit in these seats, what would we say to them? I suppose we'd want to understand about the complexity of the issue. We'd want to show compassion. We'd want, I suppose, to listen to experts who would say that there's overlapping issues of poverty, of disadvantage, of alienation that leads somebody into drug use and addiction. We'd want to understand that. But fundamentally, Minister, what would actually happen if we were to be honest is that we'd look at each and one of those family members, and we would say to them from the political system that the person that they loved who died was a criminal. And that is the centre of what we're trying to change in our debate this morning. The Labour Party wants to stand with those family members. It wants to stand with those in addiction. Wants to stand with those who are suffering. Wants to stand with those who are in recovery. And say to them quite plainly and simply that you are not a criminal. Criminality and the criminalisation of the drug user is part of a stigma. It's part of a shame culture. It's a deliberate act of public policy. And the way it is, Minister, is that it is not drugs that kills people as much as bad drug policy. And what we in the Labour Party want to say today is that we don't need a war on drugs. We need a war on bad drug policy. Because this criminalisation and this stigmatising of people in addiction, it leads to people in the political system undermining and dehumanising those people who need support and who need compassion. It leads to a cabinet minister throwing leaflets around her own constituency, telling her constituents that the medical centre newly opened in her area won't be dealing methadone. It leads to a backbencher using dehumanising language when talking about somebody in addiction. It leads to, I might say, the most ineffective and absent senior and junior minister responsible for this area in a generation. Because the feeling from the political system is what you're doing, what you are, is criminal, and what you are is worthless. And it's not just the political system that feels that. The medical system feels it too. My colleague Marie Sherlock tells me that in Dublin, only 28% of GPs are involved in the methadone program. And that's replicated right throughout the country. And it leads to a bizarre situation, Minister, where people, as Father Peter McVerry told us on Monday night, are travelling from Wexford to Dublin in order to get their methadone. And I know this to be true, because I once met a woman called Lisa. And Lisa was living in Portlaoise. She was a young mother. And she used to travel from Portlaoise to Dublin every single day on a bus to get her methadone. And the sad thing was for me when engaging with Lisa was that I felt, she felt, she wasn't worth any more than that. She couldn't demand any better service than that, because she felt on some level perhaps that she was a criminal, that she was worthless. And this young mother, we forced her to go from Portlaoise to Dublin every day on a bus over and back to get her methadone. I called into that centre a number of months later. I asked about Lisa and I was told that she didn't make it. She didn't survive. We killed her. She wasn't a criminal. She wasn't worthless. And I can think of people, a man I knew called Paul, who had a daughter who had cystic fibrosis. And Minister, you should have seen the way they interacted with each other. They loved each other so deeply. The sparkle in her eyes when she saw him, the way that they used to spend time together. He wasn't well, and she wasn't well. And she didn't make it because of her illness. And as a result, he didn't make it because of his illness. And he isn't a criminal, and he wasn't worthless. But I noticed from the debate around the injecting facility, which was passed by this Oireachtas in 2017, Minister. What would any of us say if we came across a dead body in a laneway from a heroin overdose and we held that body in our arms? Would we say to that person, well, look, it was just tied up in the High Court. There was nothing we could do. It's planning. People are literally dying in the alleyways of our capital city. And we haven't made the intervention which is necessary in order to save those lives, which we could have done from a mobile facility that could have been enacted through emergency legislation. We haven't done it. It is us who are the criminals. We are the ones who are useless. Our inaction is criminal, not those who are dying. Freddie McMahon, whose brother died of drug-related issues, the former Dublin footballer, says that we need a tribe. We need a tribe for change. And I can speak of people in this house who are part of that tribe. I remember trying with my Labour colleagues to get this injecting centre idea over the line. And it was people like Pascal Donoghue in Fine Gael who were supportive. It was people like John O'Brien in Sinn Féin who were supportive. Even today, I hear people like Paul McAuliffe from Fianna Fáil making good speeches on decriminalisation. I know my colleagues like Nessa Horrigan from the Greens and Holly Cairns from the Social Democrats and Lynn Rowan, the Independent Senator, are speaking seriously about this issue. I think of people like Gino Kenny, who's been a warrior in this field. I think we absolutely do need a tribe that will change this conversation away from criminality and worthlessness to one that replicates what happened in Portugal. Because, Minister, what happened in Portugal 20 years ago when they decriminalised the drug user, after 20 years, they have half the numbers of people in drug dependency programmes and they've reduced their drug overdose rate by 75%. So our call in the Labour Party today is quite simple. We stand with those who are affected by this issue. You are absolutely not criminal. You are absolutely not worthless. And we need the Irish people to understand and completely recast our view of this whole debate. You've promised the Citizens' Assembly on drugs. We need that Citizens' Assembly on drugs, Minister, because quite frankly, people are dying. They're dying on our watch. And it is our inaction, that is criminal.
That was Deputy Edna Reardon introducing a motion for reform of drug policies in the Republic of Ireland. You're listening to Century of Lies. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh. Now here's Deputy Patricia Ryan from Sinn Féin.
Minister, over the last 25 years, almost 10 people each week in this state have died as a result of drug taking. Along with Sweden, Ireland now has the joint highest rate of drug-induced deaths among 16 to 64-year-olds in the European Union. And Deputy Kenny already mentioned that to you. The harmful effects of drug abuse, including crimes of violence, intimidation and extortion aimed at addicts and their families and their communities, used to be confined to the inner city and working class suburbs. Now the effect is felt in all our rural towns and villages. We in Sinn Féin believe that harm reduction and prevention should be the guiding principles in development of future drug and alcohol strategies. In our alternative budget, Minister, we pledged over 10 times the amount proposed by you in government, 45 million as opposed to a paltry 4 million. The current government's policies on drugs are not working. They are not working because your indifference, or worse, your negligence. The National Drug Strategy is a list of missed targets, despite the best efforts of the various agencies. Deputy Kenny also mentioned how we in Sinn Féin have called for a citizens' assembly to discuss this issue. We supported the introduction of the Medicinal Cannabis Compassionate Access Programme because we want those patients who can safely benefit from cannabis-based treatments to do so. We believe this programme must be reviewed and extended to include the widest appropriate range of medical conditions, including chronic pain. The number of people prosecuted for possession for personal use has increased almost fivefold, Minister, over the last 25 years, with more than 250,000 convictions in this category. We need to focus on treating addiction as a healthcare issue first. We need to treat the root causes of drug abuse. And I'll finish with this. It is no accident that the effects are deeper felt in working class areas, Minister, that are suffering from years of government neglect, where there is little to occupy idle hands, where the rate of completing the Leaving Cert drops significantly. Never mind getting inside the door of a third level education. Lack of education consists of a vicious circle of prison, where the stigma of prison leads to difficulties securing employment and leads to more prison time as a result. We need to break the cycle of intergenerational incarceration. We need to support those in prison to free themselves from addiction, to educate themselves, Minister, so they can remain free from both prison and addiction. Thank you.
Deputy. That was Deputy Patricia Ryan, Sinn Féin. Now here's Deputy Gary Gannon.
It's often said, and it's been said several times today here in the Chamber, that the war on drugs has failed. And I think all of us with good intention would see ostensibly a war on drugs failing in so far as it hasn't done anything to alleviate the suffering of the communities that experienced it. But then I think of a Latin phrase, qui bono, which is loosely translates as who benefits. And then I ask myself, who actually benefits from the so-called war on drugs that was initiated by Ronald Reagan in the 80s. It certainly isn't the communities that I grew up in and represent in the north in our city. It isn't the communities destroyed across Ireland, UK, America from this war on drugs. But I tell you who has actually benefited from the war on drugs. The legal profession has benefited from the war on drugs. If you think about a young fella who grew up in my constituency, for example, or somebody who's suffering from a drug addiction, who's been arrested several times for the consumption of something that ostensibly they're taking to deal with trauma, addiction, pain. The amount of people who are imprisoned for heroin, for crack cocaine, for example. If you think about what they have in their possession when they're arrested, once, twice, three times, usually no more than a couple of hundred euros worth of that drug. And then that drug starts to become monetized and their poverty and their suffering and their pain starts to become monetized. So they get brought to the courts, their solicitor gets paid, a judge gets paid, a barrister gets paid. They get brought to prison and that couple of hundred euro all of a sudden becomes the 82,000 plus that it costs to incarcerate a person in this country. And then in prison they'll actually probably receive the treatment that they should have got beforehand. But then that costs money, the doctors cost money, all of a sudden, that couple of hundred euro that that person had in their possession to deal with their trauma, their suffering, their pain, all of a sudden, that couple of hundred has been magnified into the hundreds of thousands for a class of people that is not reflective of the community in which that person came from. So I sometimes ask myself, has the war on drugs actually failed? Or has it done what neoliberalism always does? Monetizes poverty, monetizes pain, and continues to do that for the last 4 to 5 decades, and will continue to do it unless we actually call to stop, call insanity, and point to the very reason why we probably have to fight so hard just to enact what is essentially medical best practice when it comes to the decriminalisation of drugs. The reason why we haven't done it yet is because there are a class of people who benefit from it, and it's not the class of people that has been discussed today. I promise you. And until we establish that, well, then we're not going to combat this. So let's just call her out for what it is. There is no war on drugs. There's a war on poverty, and not in the way that we imagine it should be done. There's a war on the continuation of it, because people benefit from it, and it's not those who suffer from it. And I think we have to call that out. When we think about models which do work, we hear a lot about the Portuguese model. And Minister, I know you're coming up to your midterm of your role in terms of drug minister. Minister, I would love for you to give me an analysis of whether you feel that the model that we have in this country, which I know we often talk about of being a healthcare-led, and we can't have a healthcare-led while still criminalising people at a base level. So I'd be interested when you kind of reflect on your role, whether it changes or not, if you could tell us if you think the Portuguese model, for example, has its flaws. Of course it does, everything has its flaws. But whether it's a better model than ours, and what are your measurements for success in that regard? So the Portuguese model, we know, has a lower level of convictions now, has a higher level of taking people in the throes of addiction and bringing them out of that pain and into recovery. It has a lower level of young people getting involved in addiction at that level, as a lower level of people with offences. So I'm fascinated as to, and I think I already know the answer, why haven't we done it? Why do we need a citizen, and I support the Citizens' Assembly, of course I do, as does everyone else in this chamber, but in 2023, hopefully, we're going to get a lot of experts around the table with citizens of this country, and they're going to tell us what there's probably a decades-old body of evidence that says. Criminalising people for addiction doesn't work. That will be true in 2023. It was true in 1993 and the evidence was there. And yet we still haven't done it. And I don't hear, despite the fact that we talk about kind of centre-right parties of Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil, tell us that they're more progressive now in their outlook. I still, and we also hear about kind of being led by expert-led medical guest practice. But yet you'll still stand here today and say, we're not going to oppose this motion brought forward by Deputy Reid and the Labour Party and supported by all of us. But you're not going to do anything about it. So next year, despite the fact that this is going to pass, in communities all over this country now, in laneways, we'll still have people either injecting themselves with a poison to deal with a trauma or taking crack cocaine for the very same reason. They're going to be looking over their shoulders because a Gardaí is going to be sent away from kind of central commercial addictions or away from actually addressing burglaries or anything else. They're going to be sent down those laneways to catch a person, to incarcerate them, to put them through the process to generate huge amounts of money for people that don't actually live in the communities they suffer from, because we don't actually just do not only what's right, but what's medically and scientifically proven. And then the hypocrisy of it. Absolutely roll my eyes to the back of my head when I hear a politician say, oh yeah, I smoked a joint in college. Ain't no great. And we tap them on the back and we put them on the front of magazines and we say, look how cool that politician is who said he smoked a joint in college. Because you know what? He's safe and he's protected because he comes from a class of people who are protected from the same criminalism that would happen to if a person in the north in the city put their hands up and said, I took drugs when I was younger. They'd be considered to be a criminal. But a politician or somebody like trying to get themselves some credit and somewhat a middle class profession would say, of course we all did it in college. Yeah, but you weren't criminalised for it. You didn't have a lifelong conviction. It didn't impact the type of job you might get in your future. The hypocrisy of it is scandalous. I mean, I say here, and I want to talk about a compassion-led approach to drug addiction. But first, take the hypocrisy away from it. Call it for what it is. It generates massive revenue for people who aren't in these communities. And yet we'll stand here and we'll say, we'll pass this motion and you'll do nothing. It's absolute scandalous. And then if we do have a rejig of ministries, we'll probably have another minister comes in and does nothing as well. And we'll patronise the communities. We say, oh yeah, we've invested this much money to communities. what's the outcome? You've invested money in the communities. I guarantee it's not going to generate the same amount of money as the money you're going to invest in middle-class communities who will benefit from it through their work in the legal professions or everywhere else. Because you know what? Poverty pays, but it doesn't pay the people that suffer from it. It pays other people. It makes meal tickets. And we know that. The communities know that. The people who are impacted know it. Minister Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil ministers know it too. The legal profession knows it. Until we call truth on this, the war on drugs is actually just as a war on poverty. We'll all say the war on drugs has failed, hasn't succeeded, made wealth out of it, monetized it, monetized poverty. And until we call that truth for what it is, we're just lying to ourselves. Patronising communities, we're saying, oh, we've invested this much in. You haven't. You've sustained the problem. Just sustained it, generated it, and let that income keep flowing into the kind of more middle-class communities that actually benefit from the suffering and the trauma of other people. And it's absolutely scandalous.
That was Deputy Gary Gannon speaking in support of a motion reforming drug policies in the Republic of Ireland. Next, let's hear from Deputy Gino Kenny.
Reading the motion is kind of, it's, you don't have to, you know, cry in despair or, you know, or put your head back up and, you know, and keep pushing for reform in relation to this issue, because it's a damning indictment of successive governments that this was allowed to happen and continues to happen. And it's extremely kind of somber when, you know, that 10,000 people over the last 25 years have died of drug in related deaths. And these were all, at one stage, brothers and sisters, ma's and da's, friends, family, of everybody. And, you know, addiction is very complicated. And, you know, it can be messy, to say the least. But I'm sure lots of them people could be still alive if it wasn't for a different policy. I'm sure of that. I have friends that would definitely be alive today if it wasn't for marginalisation, social deprivation. But when you throw kind of the depths of despair around addiction, it's one way to hell. And that's what communities have suffered, families, individuals. And I'm sure, Minister, these people that have succumbed to addiction, some of them could be still alive today if there was a different policy. I'm 100% certain of that. And if you look at different jurisdictions around the world, particularly Portugal, people are saved. If you can save one life, literally one life, that's worth it. It's worth changing the laws if you can save one life. And that's what it's worth fighting for. Minister, I know this government have paid a lot of lip service in relation to a health-led approach. And obviously that kind of, I suppose, the terminology is welcome, but does it actually counter the situations where people find themselves in, where they're criminalised, people brought through the criminal justice system and people are marginalised? It simply doesn't work. And, you know, the evidence points that we need a different kind of narrative around that. I mean, the proliferation of drugs since the 70s has incrementally increased. The availability of drugs has incrementally increased, not only in Ireland, across the world. It's worth hundreds of billions of dollars per year in relation to the demand. But the laws that we have at the moment, which emanate from 42 years ago, are not a deterrent for people to take drugs or people to supply drugs. Over 80% of the people that are in our prisons at the moment are there for drug-related crime, wherever, you know, from the whole pyramid, from the very top to the very, very bottom. Now, doesn't that say to you that the present laws do not work? And we need to do something different. And that difference is, I mean, obviously we can talk about health-led approach, harm reduction and all that, but we need to kind of change. Attitudes in this country have changed. They've changed dramatically. You just look at what's happened the last 10, 15 years in relation to a woman's right to choose, same-sex marriage. All that has changed. So social advancements have moved on in Ireland. But sometimes this place hasn't moved on, you know. People's attitudes now, I think, to drug reform have changed. They do not see criminalising people for personal drug use literally legitimate anymore. So there has to be something very, very different. And I believe this institution is way behind the kind of public opinion in relation to this issue. And I think the days of prohibition and the days of the Misuse of Drugs Act, which were, as I said, 42 years old, are coming to an end. We have to do something very, very different. And that's starting from changing the laws around drug use. And Minister, look, I don't know if you're going to be in this position in 6 weeks' time. I mean, obviously, you know, and you might have another new minister. We don't know. But it emanates from political choice. You know, why has successive governments continued to allow this to happen? It's largely been Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil, right? Yeah, that's the question I always ask myself in relation to, you know, what's in this motion. Why has this been allowed to happen? There's vested interests and so forth. But at the end of the day, there is no political will or no political courage to change what's happening. Because what's happening is largely it's working class communities. If all these people, I guarantee you, the vast majority of people who have died are from certain postal codes in Dublin and different parts of, you know, Ireland. They're largely working class people, right? If this was different, if this was in a different postal code, if Dublin, it'd be a different response. Completely different response. Completely different response. That's why I think you need political will, because if you don't have political will, people don't have a voice. And the people that have succumbed to all this horribleness around addiction have been let down by successive governments and lack of political will. But that can be changed. That can be changed. And it can be changed in here. We need political will from yous, from the government, to say, look, this can't continue anymore. We have to do something very, very different. Look at other countries. They're changing the models around drug reform. They've seen in, you know, 40, 10 of decades of absolute things that don't work, they have to change. And countries in Europe are changing. Countries in the United States, Canada, and Asia, and even South America, which has been, terribly affected by the kind of drug wars, are changing their policies. They've realised that the present status quo doesn't work. Because as long as the status quo goes on, people will be criminalised, people will die. But now, why allow that to happen? Because the people that have really kind of, have been enriched by this, as a tiny, tiny percentage of people that have enriched themselves through masses of profits of money, and that what comes with that is grotesque violence that is subjugated against communities. So we need to do something, Minister. We need to do something. I really do believe the days of the Misuse of Drugs Act are coming to an end. It may take another couple of years, and we'll look upon the last 4 or 5 decades as a failure, like an absolute failure. And generations will say, look, at least this generation that exists today done something about the madness that has happened the last 4 decades. Thank you.
That was Deputy Gino Kenny speaking in support of a motion reforming drug policies in the Republic of Ireland, which was debated on November 30th. At the end of the debate, the motion passed. For now, that's it.
For the Drug Truth Network, this is Doug McVeigh asking you to examine our policy of drug prohibition.
So long.
The Century of Lies. Drug Truth Network programs archived at the James A. Baker III Institute for Public Policy.